Hello and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory and this week I'm joined by my friend Lauren.
Hello.
And my friend Sophie.
Hiya.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's sunny.
Good, yeah, very nice.
Sophie, I'm intrigued. You've got like a sort of a current affairs magazine in front of you.
Sunny, yeah. I've done a bit of research. When I say research, I've read one magazine, but I think it's got a good cross-section. We won't name the magazine.
You've highlighted quite a few things in pink highlighters, so excited to see what stood out for you this week.
What hasn't made the agenda for this week's?
It's basically that. I basically was flicking through and seeing lots of bad things. Like, there was a lot of murders that happened this week.
No.
And massacres and things like that across the world. But what really stood out, because it was the only good thing, and I felt like it needed to be brought to our attention, because I don't think on news we celebrate the good things. We celebrate silly, pointless things, but not actually
like a gorilla that can smile or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the ballet
or a rabbit
gorilla
that wanked itself, you know. Or
we do cover a lot of wanking. Yeah. Pros, cons, should it be more?
Should you do it at work?
Should women do it? Should they not?
Yeah.
No, so what I have actually got to grips with is the fact that in Taiwan this week, they have legalised same-sex marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, following a landmark ruling by the Constitutional Court that prevented it. So I think that's fantastic. Because,
yeah, that's great news.
Cheers to Taiwan.
Just have a little cheers.
It's not the biggest news about same-sex marriage this week, though, because...
Why is that?
I'm going to say it's just in America, but I think that Ben and Jerry's...
I'll make Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry have stepped up and said, I don't know if they are a couple. No.
Do you think Ben and Jerry have partners? Because I'd be interested.
Are they a partnership?
Oh, let's not think that. Let's dream on that.
I thought they were just Bezzies. But...
You could have Ben, I could have Jerry.
Maybe.
They've been around for a while.
What they've done this week is they've
really old. They've probably got like a 17th anniversary ice cream coming out soon.
They probably eat a lot of ice cream. Old guys eat a lot of ice cream.
Probably look like an ice cream.
Yeah.
Sorry, melted faces like Donald Trump.
They've actually said no scoops, no two scoops of the same flavour can be served
are
together.
Are you giving us the first scoop?
God, here we go.
The first two scoops. Yeah, I can't do puns, so you're going to win this.
Anyway, okay. So why aren't they serving two
scoops?
They
have said no two scoops of the same flavour can be served together until...
Yeah.
Same-sex marriage is legalised everywhere.
That's great.
Like, globally?
Well, I think they're just going for America at the moment.
So,
but yeah, globally. Why
put,
not?
Put me on the front line here. You're an ice cream vendor selling Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll do American accent. Hi, I really want some fish food. I want two scoops of fish food.
Well...
What'd you say?
Hi.
Lauren, doing an accent.
You've lost me. I can't do an accent.
She's going to cough until the customer walks away.
No, I'm going to say, unfortunately,
anyway.
Ben, this is a legal directive from... I'll just bamboozle them with stuff.
But I hate gays.
Well, you need to rethink that.
You need to leave the store, my friend.
And I need to have you out. Or I can do you one cup of fish food in one tub and one in another. And what you do with it on your own time is yours.
That's what you would do.
That's totally what's going to happen.
Compromise.
Anyway, we digress. Sorry. Already, we haven't even...
got into the news.
Haven't
we?
Made it it's a great past fact, the though. Intro. So we've got, obviously, a bumper issue episode this week because there's so much news going on.
Just to digress one more. We had some big news as well last week. We didn't manage to get a podcast out there. I mean, we did do one, but Rory slurred the way through and got worried that it wasn't...
Had to be taken off the airwaves.
The listeners can look forward to, at some point, us releasing sort of like the Drunken Chronicles of... Times
the
when
lost
we,
tapes.
When we thought it was a good idea to record a really drunk podcast, and then what happens is at one point I was just guys, isn't it just really weird that Trump's president?
I love how you think that when you get really drunk and retarded that you get a really deep, manly voice.
Okay. No, the opening was the best. You know, hello, listeners, and welcome to This Might Be The News. That was the best line of them all.
James just couldn't handle it. So, I mean, yeah.
But
so...
no, I wanted to do, what I wanted to do is a shout out. The reason we didn't do that is because we were at one of our very good friends' wedding. Kaz and Tucker, congratulations on your marriage. You are a wonderful couple. Just thought we should do a shout out.
And you look stunning.
Yeah.
All of you.
Shout out to those two regular listeners.
Yeah, they've been with us since the beginning, haven't they? Yeah. They've given us a lot of feedback, which, I mean, like I said, guys, you can still email in.
And any other listeners who want to invite us to their wedding, we will totally
Be
up. We can podcast live from it.
Yeah.
Depends how big a fan you are.
Anyway, our first segment today will be the facts.
Facts.
The fact. So, even though I've been in Italy, I've been following the big news stories, and what seemed to be the biggest global news story this week was the fact that Donald Trump has pulled the US out of what is known as the Paris Agreement. Are you both familiar with the Paris Agreement?
Yep, yep.
Lauren, what facts have we got on this one?
Okay, so the Paris Agreement, and do fact check me later, but as far as I know at this point...
I won't be able to take everything you say, seriously.
I was bang on with the French election, so...
Lauren, you realise that whatever you say now, I just believe.
Okay, so 2015, everyone gets together, 195 countries.
Orgy!
That's such an awful orgy to imagine because it's all the heads of states. You've got some really big punchy names.
Macron tossing off Putin. Sorry.
We've gone immediately to that. You've lowered the tone immediately. We're trying to talk climate change here, Soph. Come on.
Sorry, yeah. No.
Is that what the Paris Agreement is? What happens in Paris
stays in Paris.
And then he's got like that. What's that song Kanye West did? Paris.
Niggas in Paris.
Niggas. I didn't want to say the word, but yeah.
Oh, so you let me say it. You threw that bone out for me to say it.
How does that go?
Great. We're offending in every way. Anyway, so they go.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2015, 195 countries got together and signed this agreement to say by 2020 they would have taken individual steps in their own native countries to reduce the emission of greenhouse gases.
And Obama was a big proponent of this
idea. Yeah, he had already ratified and signed this treaty.
Hearts for Obama.
And so.
P.S. He's been having a lovely time in Panama this week. Have you seen?
Because he had a hat on.
He's had a hat on. Michelle's had this big purple fluffy like shirt on.
He's been really making the most of the climate change. Just enjoying.
He's
that
like buddies with Angela Merkel.
Oh yeah,
that was his favourite head of state, wasn't it?
I think they miss each other.
Yeah, I think they do.
Probably.
So they get there. Or no, I don't think Trump even went, did he? But he sent a representative, and then he
Skyped in,
and then he revealed that.
No. It's just, this all got signed ages and ages ago. Right. No one was there this week. He's just pulled them out this week.
Okay.
But it's such a, like, the whole world, and it's run by the UN, and 195 states.
Yeah.
Had signed up for it.
Out of how many? Do you know
how many countries there are in the world?
Yeah, like.
Say like 200.
Oh, cool. That's a lot, isn't it?
A really, really high proportion. Everyone signed up for it. He has now pulled them out in a Make America Great Again stance.
Yeah.
So he has now joined the three countries who have pulled out, Nicaragua, Syria, and America.
Right.
Is that the sort of company that America wants to be keeping?
Not gonna lie, I've been to Nicaragua.
How was it? Was the climate good?
It was lovely. Yeah, beautiful, untouched, very cheap.
Would you say they were keeping their carbon emissions to a low?
Hard to say. I went for, I reckon, 7 days, and I climbed a volcano for 5 of them. And I tell you, the top of the volcano, not great air up there.
Oh.
Very sulphurous. But, seemed like just undeveloped. It seemed like one of the most undeveloped countries in the kind of that area.
Well, maybe they can't be held responsible for pulling out, because if they're so undeveloped, they don't necessarily see the impact that it has.
I think there's enough of them either. Like, exactly. I think it's a huge country.
Whereas America, they don't have any excuse. They know what smog does. They can see their traffic pollution.
Yeah.
So much so that actually all of the, I don't know if they have mayors, governors of the large cities, including New York and LA, their most populated cities, have said, we will still uphold the Paris Agreement.
Yeah.
So they won't, it won't be a federal law anymore, but they will, state by state, still uphold the principles.
Right.
So everyone's actually gone against him.
Well, and all the big corps have come out and said, haven't they? The Apple, Facebook,
Bloomberg.
Unilever.
Bloomberg has said he would make up Washington's deficit in terms of actually funding it. Because obviously to do this is a huge outlay on infrastructure.
Little hint on who Bloomberg is.
Bloomberg.
Apart from a book.
No,
what's who?
It's a news outlet.
Oh, is it? Sorry, Lauren, I feel like you're judging me there.
No.
No, you were just flicking that magazine until you got to the book.
I thought you were actually trying to look just there. Sorry, let me just read
that. That is
going to
be a segue into something intelligent I was going to say.
Is that Nicolas Cage?
No, that's a man who... Looks a supremacist like murderer. Yeah. That is Kevin Bacon, though. And I thought I saw Bloomberg in here, but...
If anyone can guess what paper, what magazine Sophie's reading.
Well, Kevin Bacon sits in close proximity to a white supremacist murderer. So, and then obviously with Syria, Assad's probably got, like, bigger things on his to-do list, like killing his citizens.
Bit of a red flag when you're siding with Syria.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
And so from what I understand...
And also, everyone who's remained in... Because this was one of the things that actually Theresa got bullied for this week.
Yeah.
Was all of the Merkels, all of the Macrons, they all got together and actually wrote an official letter from all the other heads of state saying, Trump, you're an idiot. Like, you really need to reconsider this. We're incredibly disappointed. They went down the disappointed route
It's really, really strong.
And Theresa actually didn't sign it, but she, on Question Time, went down a whole route of like, oh, and I spoke to him myself, I called him, I didn't need to put my name on paper. I'm like, you just don't want to be...
Yeah, what picture do you think she has on her phone, though, of Donald Trump, like...
When she's calling him.
Yeah, like, little picture.
I hope it's one where his, like, wispy hairs are blowing in the breeze.
Probably just an emoji.
Have you seen the thing this week where it's all of the leaders... and it's like, this is straight off Have I Got News For You, where they had all the leaders and it's like, oh, it doesn't look like their special relationship's working because May's been shunted to the back and she's literally half a face peeking over someone's shoulder.
She's probably got the photo of him and her holding hands.
Did
you see that one when they held hands?
Yeah, I remember that.
Scared of stairs.
Well, it seems to be like hand holding seems to be a big thing in the Trump with Trump's press. Yeah. You know, like there's this whole thing this week about the stairs
because Melania wouldn't hold his tried to hold his hand coming down the stairs Melania, from the private jet. His wife,
yeah,
and she slapped him away.
Did she?
Yeah,
maybe they'd had an argument before they got out of the jet.
I mean, I think she's being held against her will.
Oh my god, do you think she's hostage?
Yeah, they all think that. Like, loads of people have done all this analysis of her. I know you're hating this, Rory. That we're going.
No, tangent away.
They've done all this analysis of her handwriting, and basically, when you look into it, it's like that of a hostage.
Oh my god, it's
really a cry for help because she does really straight up and down writing. I'll obviously find this.
Oh my god, that's amazing though. But don't you find that like, you change your handwriting depending on the mood you're in? I mean, no one writes nowadays anyway, do they? They just type.
So I barely write, so who'd know?
What I did find out is that Macron and Trump had a handshake just before the summit. And it,
in my head, I'm picturing like a parent trap. Like, their own.
With like a hip bump. And like a back and back to the tune of what tune is that? That's an amazing tune. Oh, dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'm not very good at singing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But
they had a handshake that Macron held his hand so long it made his knuckles white. There was this whole article about the fact that he said it was a deliberate thing, but it was really picked up, and Macron was, I think even after it happened, they decided they were going to pull out, was really stood up for him and said that he'd been like a bold president, and they were, you know, there was a lot of good press this week for Macron.
Okay, I think, yeah, so he held his own.
He held his own. I mean, it literally
held
his own.
Trump's own hand is what you've gone with.
But, like, imagine that man's hand. It must be like a stick of beef. Like, it must be pretty impressive.
The other, and maybe not as newsworthy, but the whole Covfefe, where he's been
what's Covfefe?
Oh my god, Wi-Fi. What were you doing?
Covfefe's a quiz question, so but Lauren's going to win it. Oh, the sounds of it.
Okay.
I mean, when have I ever really won anything that's not a guess?
I want to ask you about. Sorry, Sophie.
We're saving that then. Saving the fact.
We'll talk about Covfefe later. Okay, but, sorry. Why do we think
that quiz point is important to me? So I'm going to back pocket that
one. You're going to get all of them. Don't worry about it.
All four of them. Why do we think Trump's pulling out? What's his motive here?
So supposedly this is all tied into Make America Great Again. They're
by ruining our
they can't global. They literally cannot be great if they're isolated from the world. That's the issue.
Well, how can you be great in a world that doesn't exist anymore?
Of climate change.
Yeah, because climate change.
This is straight out of the post-wedding podcast. This is what, Sophie's reusing some material. How can you be great if a tree falls in a world that doesn't exist?
How can you hear it?
We've got a point here, because Trump is something of a climate change denier. Like, for some reason I ended up like deep into his Twitter, because it is just
his Twitter.
And I was reading some tweets from 2012, where he'd tweeted that New York's really cold, we need climate change.
I mean,
at another point in the 90s, he said that climate change was something just invented by the Chinese.
Well, unfortunately, if he pulls out of all of this, we really are paving the way for China to come good.
Yeah.
I'll refer to my Telegraph quote from this week.
Go for it.
Putting national... So they're obviously not backing Trump here.
Right.
Is anyone?
I don't know.
No, I don't know any of our
papers
were, yeah.
No. Also, oh my God, I've just thought about Kathy Griffin and everything that happened there. So much Trump stuff has happened this week.
Sophie's just mouthed, who's that? I think I've missed the Kathy Griffin bit.
Let's start with this.
So this is the Telegraph's take. Other news sources are available. Putting national resources further into coal while China takes the lead in solar is like investing in building better horse-drawn carts when Henry Ford was investing in mass-produced cars.
Very intelligent. Ooh. I love an analogy.
So it doesn't really feel like this is going to be the future-proofing of America, because the whole issue, the whole reason that we're in this problem with greenhouse gases, carbon emissions, is that they are finite.
Yeah.
And we've all seen these. This was when we were at school and you were learning in like physics and chemistry. Extrapolate the graph out. There isn't a world. There isn't a
devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Not based on facts, contrary to the
name of the segment.
Yeah. You know when everyone thought the world was flat?
Yeah.
And then Columbus went and investigated and it's like, oh, it's not. Like, what happens if Donald's right? And it's like, actually, it doesn't exist. It's something else.
But I think that science is probably a lot further ahead.
Well, we said that, but then back then, what were they measuring?
What were they measuring it on, though? What were they measuring the world being flat on? I wasn't around back then, but... When you lay it out?
Yeah, but then it's also like, there's a few, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there that, you know, reality is only what you learn, and maybe we've not learned a reality that's going to be the future. That's
true, reality is what you know, I get that. That's very...
Sorry, that's very all I can bring.
But we can see the caps are melting, the polar caps are melting, the barrier reef has disintegrated.
So, and I'm devo about this, because you know how much of a fan of the ocean I am. I'm like uber fan of the ocean, like rate it so much. And actually in my one source of information, it was talking about the idea of the oceans and how they're growing and how the fact that they are absolutely, at the moment, there is like all the right microcosms and the organisms like that are not being... They're not developing, and they're not. We're just putting shit into the sea, and the ice is melting. And I think I've spoken about my jellyfish thing before.
What's your jellyfish thing?
Just that I mean, this is probably now about 8 years ago that I watched this documentary, but it's really stayed with me. It's about the jellyfish. Like, jellyfish are like, because they're like the most prehistoric creature in the sea, almost. That's still, and they're so good at adapting to different climates and whatever happens to them. They're multiplying and multiplying to the point where we have more jellyfish in our seas than ever nowadays.
And are jellyfish good for the sea?
Well, they are, and they're not. Like, they're good in some ways, but then if you think about between us and the jellyfish, who would win? Say we suddenly had no land left. Think how many jellyfish can actually kill you. So suddenly,
in my head, I'm picturing that thing from like Futurama that's sort of half human, half jellyfish.
But he's nice, right?
Dr. Zoidberg, yeah.
He's nice, I think.
I guess he's friendly, but he's
friendly. Rory's really signposting this episode, like, guys. I guess he's friendly.
What would you do, Rory? Like, you more than anyone, because you're not a big...
You know I'm not a survivor.
Not a fan of the sea. You know nor a survivor. Not good in hot weather.
So what? Suddenly, the
land is flooded, and we now have to live in the sea.
I'd probably take my own life.
Would you not buddy up? I think you'd need to buddy up, mate.
What, with a jellyfish hunter?
I'm thinking a whale, like, not a shark.
Oh,
shark's
that's
not
good. You could live like Moby Dick in a whale's belly.
Oh, my God. That's yeah, with a little deck chair.
I'd want friends. Little book. I'd want company.
Okay, so you and a selection of your friends could live.
I'll get you two in the whale with me.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'd probably want to go an adventure on and try and help.
We can
things.
Have one of those, like, jetties off the back of a yacht. Off the back of a yacht.
We just tickle it. No, we just tickle its insides and it'd open its mouth.
Or we can have a spiral staircase up to the blowhole.
Oh, wow. And then made out of coral.
Oh, you're really doing the place up. I was keep it
That's
basic.
What you'll get with me and Lauren there.
A real sort of in-whale, bohemian interior.
We'll be wearing seaweed over our boobs and, I don't know.
Shells. And we can be like the Little Mermaid with a fork and hairbrushing.
I don't know why we're trying to put this climate change thing off, really. Let's embrace it.
Sounds great, yeah.
Sounds like the Little Mermaid. So I guess, like, so the bigger picture here, though, is that, like, so Trump, I think this is going to be part of a broader strategy to remove the US from the global stage politically. And so, like you said earlier, Laura, that China is going to, this is only a potential way to go, but China playing a much bigger role in global politics, especially when did you see the story the other week of the new Silk Road that they're building? Connections sort of across Asia and Europe to sort of a lot of infrastructure. It's going to be a key part of, I don't know how to say his name, but the Chinese president's foreign policy.
I think that it's been proven that isolationism, which is why it's so scary for everyone, why Brexit is so scary, is because we're actively saying that we don't want to be part of a wider global community.
Yeah.
And Trump is essentially doing the same thing, which is like a decision was taken on a global scale. And actually for our, and whether or not he turns out to be, because I will support that this is him fulfilling one of his manifesto objectives. So he could be perceived as being strong and being forthright to his position and why he was voted in, for actually taking a stand against Make America Great Again. But the reality is it doesn't really seem like he's thinking on that global stage. And the things that could happen as a byproduct of that, like you say, China could become a much bigger power, Korea could become a much bigger power, Europe and England could just disintegrate around us, all economies could disintegrate. That hasn't been taken into account, which is fundamentally people's issue with Trump, is that he does stuff to be sensationist and he does stuff for everyone to go, oh yeah, he's really got our back here, like, brilliant. And for me, I'm like, he's just watching the latest series of House of Cards and being like, all right, what are they doing? Oh, well, yeah, I could probably do that. That's fine. That'll be good enough for America.
Have you seen House of Cards?
Well, he's got this... it's literally House of Cards meets Alan Sugar, because you know how Alan Sugar's AMS, Amstrad for everything.
Yeah.
So this is America. God, America Works, all about kind of putting all of their infrastructure and all of their resources back into America.
Just creating jobs.
Creating jobs, which is what... But it gets shortened to AmWorks.
Right.
And that's where it's a bit Alan Sugar, and you're just like, oh, God, it's all these...
What's interesting, though, because that's what Alex was talking about, wasn't he?
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the idea of spending money on other countries when really you need to spend money on yourself.
And, yeah, nationalism versus sort of globalisation.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Theresa May took the stand last night of saying there isn't a giant money tree. But she was actually addressing an NHS nurse who hasn't had a pay rise since 2001. So it didn't go quite the way...
Oh, wow.
Didn't go quite the way
she's a massive
expected.
Dickhead.
That nurse is probably well aware of the lack of money trees in the world.
I read and said this last week, actually. We were talking about geopolitics. It was a fascinating book, and I do think about it a lot in the sense that it talked about the geography of countries and how they have access to certain things. So I think last week we were talking about Russia and the fact that it doesn't have access to ports, which is why it can't be bigger than what it is at the moment, which is why they're trying to get through Ukraine. But in the same way, there was talked about China and the fact that China are continually trying to make links towards Europe, because obviously Europe's the next big chunk of land and power that they can obviously make trade with.
China's having the same revolution that Europe had, where they had a huge set of people, so they had all this manpower, they translated that manpower into industrial revolution. The whole time we have tried to kibosh that, because we've and by we I'm saying the West has seen all of the the downside of pollution and smog and factory issues, and they're going, okay, well, don't do it that way. So they've actually done it better because they've learned, they've seen someone else, they've seen the West do it once, and they've gone, okay, well, how do we translate this manpower into something that's sustainable? So that's what then leads them to be so far ahead in renewable, in sustainable fuels, in sustainable methods. Yeah. When they then expand into the West, they really are a gigantic threat to the known economy. But it doesn't have to be.
I think there's two things in that, though. I think, A, what's funny is that Britain and America are now turning their backs on a community after having it for so long and obviously working towards it for many centuries. And then also what's funny about that is that the Chinese that are coming over have very different morals and opinions and think differently. So.
Yeah,
and I know that they've got quite a big foot in kind of Africa. And what's funny is, and the difference here is that they don't regard life in the same way. And like, that's the scary stuff is when, and in the same way, that's what's scary to us Westerners about Trump is that he's not thinking in the way that Westerners are brought up to think. Mm-hmm. He's actually probably thinking halfway through between the way that the Chinese think, which is, you know, they don't value life in the same way. Like, I think people are much more indispensable to them.
And I think it depends on how much, it's almost like how much credit you give him, though, because part of it is, yes, he could be very forward thinking, and I'm not disputing that. He is looking at it from a different angle. But then the flip side to that is that really something that you want when actually he's just doing things that are going to win him votes and win him, not even sensationalist, but like, the, for example, the southern states don't like the people trying to, the legislation trying to stop them from having guns. So he can do something really quickly and win a lot of support for something that's really minor, and then do his massive decision. And there's this, I mean, I don't know if this is a reputable news source to cite, but Al Jazeera have done this video where it basically says all of the stuff that Trump, while he's been talking about Russia, guns and like maybe one or two other things that like have been his big kind of marquee pieces.
Women being shit.
He's women. Repealing the Roe versus Wade. Yeah. Whilst he's been doing all of that, which is obviously made, that's the Abortion Act. While he's been doing those like stand up, that gets all your above the line attention. Yeah. And actually in the background, they're like, he has already changed like 1,700 articles of legislation that he's just done in the background.
Like May.
I'm not saying that she's any better. It's really easy, and at the moment the way that the news reports it and the way that our politics plays out is that everything gets hinged on these like really, really seminal media centric.
Does it make you just want to give up?
A little bit. Once I've had a drink, it really does make me want to give up.
Oh dear, right, top her up again. Well, I guess, yeah, to round up, I guess, yeah, what this could be the start of sort of a longer term story
to round up. You're going to attempt to round up that.
Allow me,
go on.
I think what we might be seeing here is the US sort of joining Britain as an old power, because that's what Britain's always been. Britain used to be a bigger empire and a bigger power proportionally than the US, and I think what we'll see is as Britain leaves the EU, Britain and the US being these sort of old powers, that it's a good standard of living but business isn't booming. And where geopolitics is defined by a strong friendship between the EU and China, with the EU allowing China to, have a certain amount of colonialism in Africa and other parts of Asia. Mm. I mean, that's just based on what I read this week. Of like, it does look like China and the EU are really panning up.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens. And I think, I mean, everything's got to change. Stuff has to shift anyway. Like, that's life, isn't it? But who knows where we're going to fit in that, and whether we're going to agree with it or not, you know? Mm. Maybe we should be moving to another country.
There's so much. But the thing is, what country can you go to? There's so
Australia?
Much
Australia? They're not in any of this, are they?
They don't get involved, are they?
They're so far away.
The retrobates, the ones that were exported.
Aren't they? They're still governed by the Commonwealth.
Oh, no, they've just got the Queen on their stamps.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, we've run out of all the time on the facts, but hopefully this was
very informative.
Hopefully this was in some way useful.
Many questions someone. I have.
Anyway. Probably raised more than it answered.
Excellent.
Task Force.
task force. So I've had a call, weekly call. This week it's just Joe Public.
Can you give him a name at least?
Joe Public. Joe Public is
Joe.
Joe. That's Joe. Like, Joe.
Give him a voice. Northern.
All right, Rory.
Joe's just waking up after a long night in the pub. Rory. Down the Fox and Hound.
Right, Rory. And so Joe Public's feeling very undecided and very sort of confused about what's been going on with the general election in the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, it was looking very clear. Tory landslide. Strong and stable government is what we want, what we need, and we need to all bow down to our fearless leader, Chairman May. just get on with it. She keeps using phrases like, well, you need a government, he's just going to get on with it.
Get on with
it. That sounds awful. Yeah. That sounds really uninspiring, that you are really being sort of cagey about the
handbags
details.
Handbags
are done. Well, once again, we're getting the... Oh, we're just going to get on with it. What are you going to actually do? Don't ask me for any questions. Don't ask for any detail.
Show me the plan.
There is a plan. We're just going to get on with it.
She's like that year four teacher that you, like, I was a really inquisitive child, and so many times the teacher would be like, Sophie, just sit down and do your work.
It's because it is. That's why.
Because it's in the book. Because I say so.
So anyway, Joe is very confused about what's happening, and obviously we've had some exciting developments in...
I forgot for a minute who Joe was, but I remember now.
Joe Public. Joe Public.
Well, I would have remembered.
You do sound like you're from the Arches there, which obviously gets me on board instantly.
So it's been an exciting week in what has been a pretty uninteresting / sort of wishy-washy election. I guess the two sort of standout points would be the shift in the polls, and whilst we should only take the polls with a pinch of salt, because we remember what happened with Brexit and Trump,
a grain of salt,
the tiniest little grain. Yeah. But it's gone from the Tories having a 20-something point lead on Labour to now today, some polls showing that Labour even have the. That was the.
That's unbelievable that you've got your phone turned.
She's got two phones. Both of them will get blown away. She's got
mail. It's actually a WhatsApp elephant across both. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. We already digress.
Sorry, Tim, I'm in Mallorca.
So one of the gangs in Mallorca. It's good to know. Anyway, turn those bloody phones off.
They're off.
So now, some polls today have said that the Labour are in the lead by 3 points, which is mental. This was a poll, and to be fair, it was based on if everyone that is registered to vote and able to vote was going to vote, Labour might win it. But that's ridiculous, because what's going to happen is a huge percentage of the 18 to 24s aren't going to show up.
Well, that's what they're saying, though. That's the whole thing, which I think I've raised on this podcast before, is they've all suddenly, since May announced the snap election, they've all got I think it was something like 1.8 million millennials have registered to vote in the 24 hours. And it's like, well, where were you last year?
But they're here now. Like,
they are here now.
We've got to go with that.
But so I actually think we could have, because everyone seems to be taking the stance of if you don't vote, then you actually don't have a say.
Mm.
And like we've got in very, it's quite rare that in such recent memory we have such a historic vote going so far in the opposite direction to what everyone thought it would be.
Mm.
So I do think that Brexit actually might work in everyone's favour there. Might work in even just like the turnout favour, in that people will be willing to be like, well, we're not having another one of those.
Yeah.
On the flip side, isn't this exactly what the Tories want everyone to be thinking? Like, oh no, Labour might win. Better really show out.
This is how I think. This happens at every election. It feels like.
Yeah.
That you know they go. Oh no, Labour's definitely going to win, and then there's a sense of relaxed. Everyone's quite relaxed about it, and then the other party do end up winning. And I think that is exactly what the Conservatives have done on the last election. They did it, and they're doing it again on this one. And if you think about the papers that are turning around and saying, like, I think it was the Standard or it was a Tory-led paper that was turning around going, oh, what is up with the campaign? We're going to lose the campaign, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's tactical. That's tactical to make sure that people vote Tory if they want to vote Tory.
There are tactical things like that, but I do think that May has fucked it. There's quite a few things that she's done to really undo her
list
her staunch.
Succinctly, what?
Okay, one, the dementia tax. So she has a massive, massive stronghold in the over 55s.
Yeah, totally.
And she has gone out saying, we're going, essentially how that's been translated to them, because no one reads a manifesto, yeah, as covered on this podcast before, no, yeah, one reads it.
No.
Bullet point facts are, she's going to take the money out of your houses, everything that you've paid for your whole life is now going to go back to the state to potentially pay for a lower standard of care home. Yeah. Is how that translates.
And
what's a lower standard of care home within the world that we live in like that? Imagine a lower standard.
It doesn't matter, like, because the whole point is that's what they've spent their whole life saving and investing to be able to afford, whatever their standard is. If they think that they're going to be hard done by this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying that it's like she clearly has done some fundamental things to rock her core electorate.
Okay, so we've got dementia tax. What,
well, that was it. That's all I've got. Don't ask for a list. I gave you an impassioned response on dementia tax. Okay, that should be enough.
You had your hand out like there was lists. Okay. A list coming.
NHS. Yeah. So NHS, she's been really taken apart this week for every time she's questioned. So one is that she didn't turn up to the debate, so she's refusing to actually engage.
And that was the other big
story. She's also been torn apart for the NHS, because whilst they're actually saying, and don't get me wrong, obviously Labour don't know their numbers, you've had Diane Abbott do all sorts of things with maths in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
I love her name. She sounds like a novelist.
Oh God, have you actually... Oh,
Diane
no.
Abbott.
I don't think you love
Hi, I am
Abbott.
Diane Abbott.
As much as you might love Labour, you can't love Diane Abbott.
Oh, but I just love her name.
Let's discuss her in a minute. But Theresa May, also with the NHS, she's taken this sort of like soundbite on mental health, how mental health hasn't been treated like physical health, which is everyone's like, oh yeah, well done Theresa, that's very true.
Yeah.
But then she then stood up in York or something being like, well, mental health and learning difficulties, and it was like, whoa, they're not the same thing. And also, you investing in one doesn't necessarily invest in another. And then she was asked a tricky question on capability and disability working allowances, tax allowances.
Yeah.
And her whole kind of rationale fell apart. She was like, no, we need to treat mental health. Stop saying the bit you know and the bit you've rehearsed.
It's funny.
And actually answer the question. So I do think that she is saying stuff for...
Imagine being in a world like, and I know we really can't talk here, but like where every single thing, and this goes for both the Tory and the Labour, like everything you say is going to be noted down, quoted. Imagine they quoted. I mean, I God
and they bring
forbid.
Out stuff from years ago.
Oh, and like totally. What I was saying when I was 21, like when we were hanging out, when we were 21 at university, we were like,
God, yeah.
Think of that.
If they'd written that down,
think of that. Like the morning,
that would be so awful.
And to be fair to old Jeremy, he's given 2 weeks to come up with an entire plan for the country. So Theresa might have been planning this for ages, but Jeremy, it's 2 weeks. You've got to get a manifesto together. What?
And not only that, if he wins, he's got something like 11 days to then decide what to do with Brexit.
Yeah. But also, on top of that,
the Brexit negotiations start 11 days after the election.
He couldn't...
not only have they, like, you would hope that someone in the background, like, they're not even all in on this election, because I forgot this is Task Force, we're supposed to be fixing this.
Do you know what I love about Jeremy? And I think he was on Women's Hour on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hashtag Radio 4 fan.
Didn't know his numbers, just like Diane Abbott.
But like, didn't know his numbers, but then you do think, how? I mean, I know that it's expected of the leader to know the numbers or whatever.
But it was a bit embarrassing that...
The
presenter even went, I can see you're looking at your iPad. I'm not sure they're in there either, Jeremy. So he did get absolutely ruined.
This is my point. When you like, if I asked you to come up with a plan for the country in 2 weeks,
I'd
and
ring
then
it.
Quizzed you on it and said, tell me the numbers though. What number have you written down on page 84?
Think of me. Imagine if I was the leader of the country. It'd be
like,
a nightmare.
I'd be like, you know what? Read it. Read that.
So I must say, what I think, and this goes back to a little bit of what we've been dealing with, like when we had the Labour sign, then we had the Conservative sign, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely starting to round up opinions. Because
this is kind of the third in a trilogy of podcasts.
Let's make it sound like
a planned thing. The third in a trilogy of podcasts that you have featured in about the general general election, where on the first one we had Paul making a very strong
case. Who also has, by the way, said that he doesn't think he should be on a podcast until the general election has been done because he's going to get too angry.
And then I think I decided...
It's next week though, isn't it? Yeah, so you'll be fine, that's fine.
We'll be back on talking about the Kardashians next week. Look forward to that. And then the following week, we obviously had Alex come on, who made a strong case for the alternative right and generally the right side of politics. Sophie, where is your head at with...
Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Sorry. Specialist music podcast.
I mean, you really are representing the member of the public, though. That is
we're trying to help Joe Public.
Disengaged, really. Do you know what? Teresa really hasn't read the room as well, because the last thing this company.
It's not helping that it's really sunny. Imagine
if she came on to "Where's your head at, Theresa May?" Theresa May.
She'd get your vote because you love a jingle.
I just love music.
I especially like that the highlighter, the aforementioned highlighter, became a small microphone.
So he goes back into her DJ days. Anyway, you were saying, where have you got to, since hearing the cases from both sides, you've been doing your own research, what are you thinking?
Well, I think especially after this, so Jeremy Corbyn's had a massive push this week, hasn't he? He's been going viral, essentially, in the fact that, and it's quite public news that he's much better at campaigning than Theresa May, but it almost feels like if this campaign went on for like another more 2 weeks, I think he would only look better and she would only look worse, because she's only hiding lots of stuff and he seems to be saying stuff, and yes, it's ambitious, so I'm really distracted by looks like cotton flying by the window. It's not, we're not on a plantation, but what seems to be interesting,
just in case
you weren't sure that we've flown back from Italy to head to a plantation
to racist America of the early 1900s.
We are in To Kill a Mockingbird. More on that in the quiz.
I'm Mrs. Dubois. She was my favourite one, the morphine addict. I had to do a presentation in my A-levels and we had to like become a character and everyone picked like Scout and whatever. And I just got a wheelchair from the drama studio and wheeled in and dribbled for about 10 minutes and got an ace jar.
Absolutely nothing about that is surprising to me. I'll be the rabid dog.
Yeah. Just fitting. Anyway, let's return.
So we're not in.
We haven't fixed it, have we?
No. So what my conclusion was, as I read the news, especially this week when I know Corbyn's had a real kind of second wind, it goes back to the thing. He obviously has plans and the money, although the facts do check out by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Like the money and where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I think in the world that is now happening in front of us, and like we've spread in the last topic, it just feels a little bit, morality wise, who do we want running our country? Do we want someone who we believe in their morals and we think they're going to try and do a good job and they're going to be around a team that want to, that essentially, however we might feel sometimes he is slightly incompetent with things, he has an incredible team around him, I think, who are able to kind of translate his ideas. And I think ultimately, I feel like I'm just telling everyone where I'm going to vote.
I agree. I don't want to steal your thunder, but I agree. Morally, of course you might want Corbyn. And like you say, there is a lot more, broad strokes, the ideas are there and it's all good. But I don't necessarily think that... And May is taking the opposite side and just going, well, we're just going to get shit done. We're just going to get it done. No one's getting any detail on what that is and what that is.
Don't ask me what I'm doing or how.
Ask me no questions and I'll give you no bullshit. It's all fine. We're just going to get it done. That is not necessarily reassuring either. Mm. But that said... To come back to Diane Abbott, I'm not 100% sure that Corbyn's team around him is...
Well, I think Emily Thornberry turned out to be a fantastic...
I just don't know.
But it's also a sense of, like, I suppose it's like if you...
I really don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not trying to persuade you either way.
No, I'm going to liken this to, like, falling in love with someone, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah. If you feel something for someone, you just kind of go for it, don't you? Like, it doesn't necessarily always make sense, but when you look back on it, you can't ever really regret it because you're like, I felt like that at the time. It was the right thing to do at the time. And you might look back and go, yeah, it was horrendous and I got beaten and I suddenly now don't have a foot. I don't know how bad your relationship might end up.
Yeah.
But I still think you'd look back and gone, do you know what, at the time, it was the right decision, and that's who I wanted, that's what I believed in. I think what I've concluded from trying to work out the facts of everything is that if you even just scan over stuff, there will be a feeling, there'll be a gut feeling and an alliance to a party that you feel, and I think you just got to go with it. And quite frankly, I don't think we've got great options anywhere, you know. This world, we are one little pinprick of a person inside a
massive. Well, even in the leaders debate, which May didn't turn up for, obviously, what's his name, Farron, Lib Dem Farron, was going, well, she couldn't be bothered to turn up. I suggest you all turn over and watch BBC's The Bake Off Creme de la Creme, the finals on the other channel. So he actually invited the audience to turn over. So I'm like, I mean, if that's the best you can hope for,
that's your attitude.
A little bit light humour from your Macron.
So you, not are you Macron, saying
Macron wasn't there, he was so busy squeezing the hand.
Tossing off Putin, clearly. To be fair, Putin
always comes down
I mean, if he made Trump's knuckle white, poor old Putin's
the penis would be non-existent.
Yes, Smith.
No, the opposite. Surely Trump's little hands are easy to make white.
You don't know how big his penis is.
Well, I'm assuming it's bigger than Trump's little hands.
So I guess to conclude, you're saying to Joe Public, you're not going to prescribe a particular party. You're going to say sort of whatever your conscience can live with.
I think scan the news and just and go with something. You don't want to go with the person you think is going to best run it. You want to go with the ideals, I think, that you agree with.
Gut feeling on ideals is pretty much the best that we can hope for, because traditionally we've always, as a country, and this is a huge generalisation, but we have always voted for a person rather than an ideology.
Yeah.
And like that's just how our system works and how our voting public work. And this feels like a time to try and step away from that as much as you can, even though it's hard because they're all quite not great options.
Yeah. I would say in all of this, sorry, just to interrupt you quickly, but like in terms of the Lib Dems and then wanting a revote of I just think the Lib Dems I wouldn't vote for the Lib Dems.
The Lib Dems are forecast to lose seats, bearing in mind they've only got 9.
They'll lose seats, and the only way they could even have a voting, the only way they could even have like a percentage margin to vote is if they buddy up with Sturgeon.
Yeah, and they've said no alliances.
All sorts of troubles for the Lib Dems.
I think a Labour majority is just not going to happen at all. I think we're torn between, I think there's 3 options. The landslide Tory win that Theresa May was hoping for.
Which looked really, really feasible 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but then obviously people heard her speak. Then the other option is we basically end up with what we've got already, thus pissing us off even more, being like, you ruined a nice sunny Thursday for us. Or the third thing is we enter a hung parliament, which...
God.
Is really enjoyable to watch in the news, just for like interest wise, but will be chaos. And like I say, it's actually really irresponsible that they called the election 11 days before Brexit negotiations start.
Yeah.
It's the last thing anyone needed, to be honest.
Not least them, because surely, even if Theresa is... Okay, so if nothing had changed and there was no snap election, Theresa was going in and would have been able to spend all of this time really getting her head down and getting to grips with Brexit, which, as discussed on this podcast at length, she doesn't really have her head round. And instead, we've got a situation where she's none the wiser about that while she's busy doing her campaigning and is insisting on doing everything grassroots. Fine, but that is time-consuming. All the other parties in a similar vein, as much as they're campaigning, and it is looking like they might need to have a sort of plan B just in case anything did happen, to go straight into a week of Brexit negotiations. Which, again...
When do they get to go on holiday?
Do you know what I would say? I'd say, Joe.
Yeah?
Mum and Dad have been fighting.
Yeah, it's all fair. Sorry, it's all fair. You lost me there.
You got to think, right? Let's pretend Theresa's mummy and Corbyn's daddy.
Yeah.
Mum and Dad have been fighting a lot recently.
Yeah.
But when you're picking who you want to live with...
I want to go with Uncle Nigel. Where's Uncle Nigel?
Uncle Nigel's not with us anymore. He's left the country.
Oh, he loved
a pint. He's gone to China.
He loved a pint, Nigel.
He's gone to China to set up a new world.
Hasn't he just retired?
But I would say to Joe, I'd say, Joe, I think you know best where you belong.
Fair.
Just have a think about that on the inside.
Well, there we go, listeners. For anyone still on the fence, just go with what feels right to you. Fucking hell, the insights we deliver. Thank you both.
Quiz?
Quiz. Quiz. Quick fire quiz. I've only got four questions, and we've already had some spoilers. You guys know how it works. So, question number one. Who was fired from the Mail Online this week?
Lauren?
Yeah?
She wasn't fired from the Mail Online. She was fired from LBC. Katie Hopkins.
Katie Hopkins. I heard
I freaking know this.
I heard that today... They ended her contract.
Oh, potentially. I haven't seen that come through yet.
On the blower. Let me just check that, because that wasn't even when I researched. That was just
the answer was Katie Hopkins.
Yeah.
So, what annoys me is I bloody read that, didn't I?
She got fired from LBC for saying something absolutely outrageous, and the entire LBC floor applauded. They all actually clapped her out the building when they got me.
She's an awful human
being. I mean, she really, really is.
If you were going to, like... She'd be like, you know, the thing you wash yourself with in the shower,
the loofah.
No, not even that. What's the little one that it disintegrates and falls apart? Like the little the puff thing. Yeah. It's called something.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And she's like that.
I know what you mean. Anyway, I think you're right. It was LBC. So the answer was Katie Hopkins, and yeah, she had a bad week. So it's good that we talked about, and hopefully the Mail Online will get rid of her. According to some scientists or some sort of test that happened this week, what should be reintroduced to improve England's water supplies?
Lauren.
Yeah.
Fluoride.
No.
Sophie.
Yeah.
Estrogen.
No, it's a little critter. It's an animal.
Crayfish.
So,
shrimping.
That's actually a dance move, everyone.
It's a rodent with a fondness for rivers.
A water mole!
No, a little architect.
Otter. Damn, beaver! Yes!
Damn, beaver.
Architect dams beaver. I got there in the end.
They're really cute. They hold hands when they sleep.
They're vicious.
No, that's otters that hold hands when they sleep.
I like otters.
Question number four.
Question number three.
Three. Sorry, I was trying to trick the listeners into thinking that I'd written five questions. Question number three. What does covfefe mean?
Lauren.
Yep.
It was it was in one of Trump's tweets this week, and everyone is assuming that he actually meant to write coverage, because the tweet was about what to do when all of there is so much negative news media. Covfefe.
Yeah.
And everyone is assuming that his tiny little hands couldn't type the proper letters for coverage, so covfefe came out. But
predicted
obviously
death.
Yeah. Obviously this has gone down, like the internet has just absorbed jumped on it. But my favourite, and I think quite a lot of people's favourite, is Hillary saying people in covfefe houses shouldn't throw covfefe. And that's just, she's won the internet. Is that right?
You're smashing the
in
points.
A nutshell.
And according to Professor Colin Jones.
Oh, I love him, Colin. Sorry.
What are selfies ruining? What are selfies ruining?
Self-respect, dignity.
No, I mean it may be true, but that's how
the photography industry.
Colin feels.
The self timer.
No, smiles.
Oh,
people aren't smiling as much because they're doing the pout thing.
Duck face. I've learned that recently, and I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a big smiler, and I've learned if I just tone it down by 20% and it turns into a pout, I actually look better. Which upsets me, because I feel like you should always smile.
Well, Colin, you can just really, really help on the old chins, depending on the angles.
Should we just make sure we like properly smile in photos though for this week?
We'll make sure we do a nice pouty selfie.
No,
for this
I feel like we're gonna do a smiley one.
We'll do a smiley
Schmizey,
one.
You've got to do the smiling with your eyes, like Tyra.
I smile with my eyes all the time.
Anyway, congratulations, Lauren. You won.
Well done. I mean, landslide victory. Much like we hope that one of the parties might do
may or may not achieve this week.
Good one. Pun.
Satirical.
That is a pun. I didn't even know that was. Yes.
Well, listeners, we will see you, or you'll hear us next week. when we'll know what happened on June the 8th.
Shit, good luck, everyone.
Good luck. Goodbye.
Don't forget to vote.